Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean Lavery. And tonight I am blessed to be joined by some of my PNF family, Brian the Killer Schiller and Miss CQ, the Queen herself in the house tonight.
Blessed.
Welcome, guys.
I thought it was
Thanks for
a nightmare.
Oh, no, man. Man, this is where it's at. It's not often I get royalty, you know?
Oh, jeez.
Well, the reason why I brought these two fine folks on the show tonight is because we have a huge announcement that after a year taking a little bit of time off over the winter, we are bringing back the Noobs Tournament by popular demand. So last year we had a ton of fun. Tons of people got their feet wet in the tournament scene, and for not a whole lot of price, they were able to hop in, you know, learn some things. We definitely had some mistakes that I made. I don't know how many times I forgot the identifier, and you know, totally had people calling me out in the Noobs tournament chat on Facebook, but definitely it was a great community, and we're hoping to replicate that again this year. So I wanted to bring on Brian and Susie to help me go over the beginning of that for this year, because we have a couple of cool things that we're talking about doing, and wanted to make sure that I got all the details correct. So for starters, we're going to start kind of middle of May. We talked it when we were down at Dale Hollow about starting in May. We got a little bit of a late start, but we're going to kick that off this week. So this will air on Monday. We'll have one day off. We'll take Monday off, and then the 17th, you'll actually be able to start fishing. I believe that's correct, right, Susie?
Yep.
All right. And registration will be open through the 20th this month. So you can sign up even after we get started for a few days, just to make sure everybody who wants to get in can get in. And then we'll go up until the 30th. The last day to fish for the month will be the 30th. And then we'll have judging and everything on Memorial Day, which is the 31st. Is that right? Cool. So as far as some of the rules, we were talking about a little bit before the show, and when we were talking about, you know, entry into this tournament or these tournaments, one of the things that we wanted to really focus on was really keeping that kind of beginner vibe and kind of trying to keep it to folks who are just learning or getting into this. And so as part of that, we have a few pre-qualifications that we want to make sure that we go over. One of them is if you have won the Bass Fishing for Noobs tournament in the past, we're going to consider you graduated from your noobhood, if you will, and ask that you move on to bigger and, you know, not necessarily better, but more higher ranking tournaments. So if you've won in the past in the Noobs tournament at all, we ask that you kind of, you know, step back and let some other folks kind of join in the fun. So Susie, is some of the other things we're looking for is how are we stating that with the other tournament experience?
We are saying that if you've competed in at least 5 grassroots club tournaments, so like your local trail series or your local club, like if you've been, you know, competing, you know, for a season, got a year under your belt, if you've definitely competed in the national trail, so like the Hobie, the KBF, the Bass tournaments, or any other prominent kayak fishing series, again, you will not be eligible for the Noobs tournament as well. If you, you know, sign up and realize, oh yeah, I have fished in a bunch of stuff, you will only get $5 of the $10 fee back, just because of, you know, the TourneyX fees, registration fees and whatnot. So just keep that in mind when you guys are signing up to pay attention to that. Again, like Sean said, this is geared toward our newbies, hence the name, you know, the Noobs Tournament. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving everybody a fair chance here. This is to help our new anglers learn, get a feel for how tournaments work and all that other fun stuff. But we do like to say that, you know, you can always stay in the Paddle and Fin Noobs Facebook group because, you know, we've seen a lot of people in there, you know, chime in to help other people when they're struggling or to congratulate each other as, you know, the month's challenge ends or begins. There's a lot of great discussion that goes on in there. So, you know, feel free to, you know, chime in when you can, give each other some advice, suggestions, that type of thing. So, yep, those are definitely some good points there.
Awesome. Awesome. And like Susie said, we're going to keep the entry fee at $10 this year. We had a little discussion about maybe changing that, but we really want to keep it reasonable for people just getting in and make it easy and relatively inexpensive to get involved with. So we're going to keep that entry fee at $10. Again, that's $5 of that is the TourneyX fee that we have to kind of go towards. And then the other $5 is going to go right to the prize pool for whoever wins that month.
Yeah, Brian, it'll yeah. So you're 100% right. $5 to TourneyX, $5 to the prize pool. Paddle and Fin will cover the PayPal fees for those competing in the tournament. And then for every 10 we get, a place will be paid out. So if we get, for instance, 12 people, then we'll pay 2 people out. Like first place, second place will get basically their money back, $10. First place will get 50 and so on and so forth. And we'll, you know, do the breakdowns like a normal tournament would do. We got a tournament calculator that we use, like when we get up over 20 or 30, you know, however many people sign up. So, yeah, it'll be money, cash payouts. But obviously the $5 goes to TourneyX and then the rest, will go towards the prize pool.
Awesome. Awesome. And we actually, if when this airs tomorrow, Monday, the 15th, 16th, you'll be able to go out to TourneyX and find the news tournament and be able to sign up for it. I will make sure there's a link in the show notes for that as well, so you can find it there. But you can either just go to TourneyX.com and search for Paddle and Fin News and you should find it, or on the phone app, you can definitely search on there as well and sign up either place.
Yeah, when you go to TourneyX and you go to like the main tournament page, if you scroll down, it'll Paddle and Fin will show up. Mm-hmm. So that way it's super easy to find. But yeah, if you're listening on the podcast platforms, the link will be in the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, it's definitely in the show notes as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Trying to think what else.
Tonight's show, or this show, will count as our captain's meeting. We'll have a captain's meeting every month. Usually it's me and Susie or just me. It doesn't matter. We'll have a captain's meeting every month. And we usually like to refresh, go over any mistakes that may have been made by anglers. We don't call those anglers out. We just say, you know, an angler had this issue. So that way it's a learning experience for everybody, right? We're trying to teach everybody to do things right and have a good time doing it. So, you know, we kind of recap that, the month prior in those captains meetings, plus you get the identifier code for the following month. Mm-hmm. When we do those as well. So, it's very important to watch those captains meetings in case there's like a rule change or something along those lines. As we go on throughout the year.
And for those of you who are listening and might not have taken part last year, you know, a couple of the basic things that we're talking about are this is going to be a 5 fish limit month. Yep. Long. So at the end of the month, your best five fish over 12 inches. Did we do 10 inches last year?
Yep. It must be 10 inch minimum.
All right. So yeah, your fish have to be over 10 inches or over, and we'll take the best five fish. Definitely in the Tourney X rules, it'll state all of that, I believe. Mm-hmm. Also, we can talk about, you know, measuring fish. You want to make sure that you have a bump board, and when you're placing the fish on the board, the fence of the board is to the left-hand side of your picture, and that the bass's mouth is closed and touching that fence. And yep. Then make sure you have a good, you know, clear picture of where the tail is landing, and then also make sure that the identifier is somewhere in that picture as well.
And that's all detailed in the rules on Tourney X as well. One thing I want to bring up too, that I know I had a few questions brought to me last year. So as you're fishing along throughout the month, yes, it's your best five fish, but submit all the fish you catch, mm-hmm. and Tourney X automatically calls those out. So that way, if you do have an issue with one of your fish and it gets penalized or disqualified or something like that, you already have a fish in your live well that could automatically replace that. So if you have any issues, so you don't have to wait till the end of the month to submit your fish. Just submit them as you're going along fishing. It helps judging work a lot faster, instead of Susie getting overrun, or I mean, Susie does 99.9% of the judging. I do help occasionally, but like, that way it's not like the 30th or the 31st and Susie's got to judge 8 million fish. You know what I mean? So like, you know, it helps from that standpoint too. And it's the same in any regular tournament that uses Tourney X or Fishing Chaos or any of the other apps that are out there. There's an auto call feature, so it'll save those smaller fish, but when you upgrade, it'll automatically do that for you. All you got to do is submit your fish. You don't have to do anything else. There was some confusion in that last year and even the year before. I think I even brought it up last year, like, go ahead and submit all the fish you catch as you're going along, so that way you do have a backup in case there's something wrong. And you do not have to wait till the very end of the month and kill Susie and have her pull her hair out. So she's got very nice hair. I'm just saying.
Well, and I think submitting all your fish too. I know there was times last year where Susie, you actually readjusted some lengths and stuff where people didn't give themselves the whole length or something. So it's definitely worthwhile for your time to, you know, submit everything you catch. That way, you know, we can kind of take a look and make sure you're measuring correctly and giving yourself the length that you really deserve, you know, both good, you know, both either taking it away or giving it. If you like, I know there was quite a few times last year I've heard that people just kind of erred on the side of caution when really they had, you know, a fish measuring bigger than what they gave themselves credit for. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. And catch board only. So if you don't have a catch board, order one up. It could be the carbonate board. It could be the original aluminum, or the what's the lightweight one? Lightweight aluminum one called
Carbonite season. Or the Catch X.
Catch X. Yeah. I still gotta order one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I keep the OG nice. In case, like, I lock my keys in the truck, I could just bust out my window. But yeah, super important. And then, yeah, I mean, every month you should go through and reread the rules. Like, that's something like I personally do. I'm sure you guys do too. Like, I know at the beginning of this year, I decided to go fish a KBF event, and it had been a little bit since I had fished one. So I had to go back, reread the rules, make sure I was doing everything right. It's always good to do that because whether you're fishing your grassroots club, KBF, Hobie, Bass, the Noobs Tournament, KBF Monthly, like, all those rules could be different slightly in what they accept, mm-hmm. and don't accept. So it's very important to do that. So I think you guys should definitely get in the habit of doing that. Obviously, we go over some of the most important rules in the captain's meetings and things like that. But you should always go through and read all the rules, because dude, there is nothing worse than when like somebody catches just a tank, like a 20, and then it gets DQ'd or has a deduction or something because like the mouth was open or the tail wasn't flat or you were touching the tail or whatever it may be. Like you, that is the worst thing in the world that Susie wants to do or myself as like a judge. Like you never want to deduct anybody's fish, but when that happens, you're just like, oh man, like, you know, it's, we want to see you guys succeed is what I'm getting at. So just make sure you're going through and checking all that stuff out.
Absolutely. And I know last year, a couple of the things that kind of popped up a little bit repeatedly was we want to make sure that you're wearing your life vest and it is zippered the whole way. Last year we had a few people where it'd be kind of, they had it on, but it'd be unzippered and that kind of thing. So we want to make sure that that's definitely one of the things we, you know, safety first. We want you guys all to make it home, you know, to enjoy your time out on the water, but definitely make it home to your loved ones. So that is one of our rules that we're definitely sticklers on, is making sure you're wearing your PFD and it is zippered the whole way up.
And to kind of piggyback on that as well, you know, your PFD doesn't always have to be visible in your photos. However, if you are taking selfies and stuff like that, and then you're posting it on your Facebook page, and it is very apparent that you don't have a PFD on in that photo, we will DQ all of your fish. Again, that is again how you know, serious we are about having your PFD on and following the rules, because any other club and any other tournament is going to do the same thing. If that PFD is on, is it, if it's unzippered, unbuckled, or whatever, it is a DQ straight across the board. Yep. So
no excuses. You can't be like, that was like, you know, 2 days before I caught my fish, bro. And like, you know, I was just rolling down the creek with my bros. No, dude, it's, it's something that we are very, very stern on. Like that, there's no exception. Like, PFD, it's going to save your life at the end of the day. We don't take that lightly, and it's something that must be done. So, yeah, no exceptions. Wear it.
Yep,
definitely. Another one that kind of popped up last year was having open alcoholic beverage containers in your picture. So we want to make sure that, you know, that's kind of a no-no as well. So, you know, feel free to party on when you get back to shore and, you know, toast a good day of fishing. But while you're out there actually actively catching the fish, you know, try to keep that to a minimum.
No pops.
Yeah, I see everything on your kayak, including that open can of Bud Light. So, yeah, if you've got it in your kayak and I can see it, it's a DQ. Yeah.
Susie sees everything.
That's right. You do not want to get Susie cued.
And then some of the other things we were talking about, and I forgot to ask you guys this before we went on the air, but I know, remember we were talking about what happens at the end of the season for the person who wins. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So so each month we'll have a winner, and that qualifies you for the championship at the end of the year, which we haven't determined yet, but more than likely it'll be in October. Will be the championship. And the way we've done it in years past is if you're fishing that championship, you get to pick one day out of like a 11 day period. So there's two weekends and a full week in the middle. So that way we understand everybody's got lives, you know, but you pick one day and your best five fish for that one day. And there'll be a different identifier for every day. So that way it's nice and fair and you have to pick your day ahead of time. So, you know, not only are you, if you win, you get paid out, but you also qualify for the championship, which we're going to do something cool for. Am I missing anything before the cool part?
I was just going to say, like, if you have your day locked in and like you know, the weather suddenly changes and you're like, oh, I want to change my day. Sorry, Charlie. Can't do it.
Yeah. You gotta plan ahead and pick those. Yeah. So what we're going to do is the winner of the championship gets to come down and fish the Dale Hollow event next spring, end of April. Is it the 23rd and 24th, Susie, or is it 22nd and
23rd? 22nd, hold on.
I keep forgetting. Like, I'm so
22nd
bad.
And 23rd.
So we have the Dale Hollow Open, 22nd, 23rd. You get free entry into that. You get free room and board with the paddle and fin crew.
What?
I'm sure there's going to be some meals in there, some beverages. And obviously you're going to win some money in the championship round as well. So, real big prize package for that. That was a great idea that, Sean kind of came up with while we were down at Dale Hollow. He was like, hey, what do you think about this? And I was like, I freaking love that. So yeah, why not? You know? So, you'll get to come down, fish a 2-day event. It's our big event that we do every year down at Eastport Marina. Shout out to those guys. And you get to hang out with the paddle and fin crew. You can come early. We're usually down there for at least a few days, if not a week, leading up to that event. So you get to come down, hang out, got a place to stay. Your tournament entry is covered. All you got to do is pay for your gas to get there and maybe some food and some lures or whatever, you know, some, you know, things to take home to the wife and kids because they let you escape the house for a few days. You know? I don't know, but it'll be a really good time, really good experience. You get to sit down and chat with all the hosts, pick their brains, talk to them, you know, come out fishing with us during your pre-fishing. You go fish on your own. It doesn't matter, but we'll be there and really looking forward to it, and it's going to be a really cool thing, and I'm super excited about that part.
I was like excited too, and I was like, oh crap, I forgot to double check that with them, but I figured, yeah, you know, I'll spring it on them. So
we told you that's happening.
Awesome. So
you guys fish your butts off this year. It's going to be awesome. That experience in itself is going to be super cool. If for some reason the person that wins cannot go, they will obviously win the money, but we'll roll it down to the second place. So, yeah, something I would definitely be fishing for. It's a very nice getaway and a cool experience. Obviously, you guys know everybody that comes to that event doesn't go home empty-handed, and it's just a good time overall. I mean, heck, a guy that zeroed this year went home with a brand new Newport Vessels motor. It was pretty cool.
It was awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, super cool. Something to definitely shoot for. And, yeah, and I think, too, like, if you guys have any questions at all throughout the year as the tournament's going on, feel free to reach out to myself, Susie, Sean, any of the other paddle and fin hosts, and we'll be sure to help you and guide you in the right direction. And if one of these guys, like say you hit up Sean and he's like, I really don't know, he'll forward you to Susie or myself, and we'll get you straightened out and, you know, get things figured out for you. One thing I wanted to add is places that you guys are fishing have to be public waters, cannot be private. So it's public access only. If you got to pay to fish there, that's fine, as long as everybody can pay to fish there. But if it's like a private pond or something like that, then you not going to happen. It's not going to work. So it's got to be a public waterway.
Awesome. And I know I pretty much enter every month. If I happen to beat you or win, I will definitely, you know, forfeit my winnings to the next person. I kind of do it just to give you guys someone, a face to compete against. And I love hearing your stories, and I love when you guys talk smack and, you know, totally kick my butt. So, you know, definitely sign up. It, like I said, like I've said a million times, it definitely gives me an excuse to get out on the water because I don't want to get beat by half the people on the field. So
for sure, for sure.
Definitely, you know, hop on there, come fish against me, you know, put up your best. I'm going to put up my best and, you know, we'll see where the chips fall. So
I like it. I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and occasionally we throw like one of the hosts in there throughout the season, and if you beat them, then you get a free entry into the following month. We've done that in the past, and I'm sure we might throw something like that in there. We won't obviously do it for this first one because it's only a couple weeks long, but so obviously, right, the tournament's starting tomorrow, Tuesday, when this airs. And that'll go through the end of May, and then a brand new one will start in June. So, but we wanted to obviously get this last chunk in because for some folks, fish are just getting ready to spawn or they're spawning right now. You guys got chances at catching PBs, things like that, some nice limits for you folks down south. Unfortunately, you're probably all spawned out, but, you know, there's still good fish to be caught and a lot of fun to be had. So,
definitely. And I mean, I learned so much last year just fishing every month. And, you know, I learned, you know, the different stages of the bass near me, you know, when they were doing this and when they were doing that, and when they were done doing that, you know, and it definitely forced me to learn a lot more. And it was a great learning experience. So I'm really looking forward to getting out there again. And I that's why I want to encourage anybody who's on the fence, you know, it doesn't matter how new you are, you know, it's a relatively minimal investment, and we're here to help you, you know, give you tips. You know, there's a, for those of you who don't know, there's a noobs tournament, Paddle and Fin Noobs Tournament Facebook group that you can join. You can ask all your questions there. You know, all of our, all the hosts kind of monitor that and answer questions, but there are also a lot of the other noobs that listen and eat, like Susie was saying, even, you know, some of the, you know, more advanced anglers definitely kind of partake in that discussion too. And so you get lots of good response to your questions. And we definitely want to just make this like a one place shop, like, you know, where you can come and get that experience and give your, you know, let it be a stepping stone into those bigger grassroots tournaments or the, you know, even if you want to step up from there. We've definitely had people who, you know, have done really well in the noobs tournament go on and do great, great other places as well. You know, it's really cool to see people kind of make that leap. And that's definitely why we're, what we're all about and why we kind of do this. So take advantage of it if you can.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask questions in the noobs group either. Like nobody's going to be like, oh, that's a dumb question or jump all over you and give you some BS or smart ass answer. Like we don't stand for that. There's a reason why that group's there. Like we want you to feel comfortable, come in there and ask any and all questions possible. So that way it's helping you out and bettering your experience on the water, whether you're fishing the noobs tournament or not, right? Like even if you're a beginner and you're like, you know what, I'm not ready to like, you know, throw down $10 a month to do this, but I'm ready to start looking at it and learning about it. Like get in there. Get in there, ask questions. That's what it's there for. That's why we created it. So don't feel bashful like, oh man, I've seen like on this other page or, you know, these other groups where somebody's asked a question and like got completely tore up and made look like an idiot. Not going to happen here. We have a zero tolerance for that. So get in there, ask all your questions. And like Sean said, there's our host in there. There's previous noobs winners, there's current people that are fishing the noobs tournament, there's a whole plethora of folks in there that are just there to help you guys learn and have a better time on the water. So just wanted to throw that out there. Don't be bashful and ask all the questions you got for sure.
Absolutely. Susie, do you have anything else that you think is relevant to cover? One question I was going to say, I know we talked about grassroots tournaments, but previous noobs tournament experience doesn't count against you as long as you didn't win. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Yep. Just a few things I want to highlight is on the Tourney X page, when you're reading through there, you're going to see a link on there for a waiver. You are going to need to click on that link and complete that waiver. It's very simple. You just type in your name, your phone number, et cetera, brief information about you, and then you just agree about, you know, our rules and regulations and whatnot. And then when it comes to the identifier code that will be released, let's see here, Monday night. So it doesn't have to be on like a KBF identifier or any special thing. It can be written on your hand. It could be written on a piece of paper. I mean, it can be written on a banana. I've seen people do that before. So
Yeah.
So as, but you want to make sure that that identifier is not touching the fish in any way, shape, or form. So like it can't be sitting on the board behind the fish or anything like that. It can't be on top of it. But if the identifier is on your hand, because I know Tourney Tag sells the ones that like have like an elastic band, and if you have it on your hand and your hand's on top of the fish, that's okay. But the identifier itself cannot be covering it.
Yeah, real quick with that on your hand, the Tourney Tag thing on your hand, make sure it's not covering the eye.
Yes.
Right, the eye and the gill plate and all that stuff.
Yep. And if you have questions about that, what that looks like, I think there is pictures in the rules. Is that correct?
I'm adding pictures into the rules right now.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Let's see here. So, let's see here. If you guys, depending on what time zone you're in, because this is all based out of central time zone, we know we have some Eastern, some mountain time, that type of thing. If the start time is before sunrise and you're getting out on the water, you've got to have a 360 light. So what that means is you have a light that is visible from all 360 degrees around. You also need to have a flag on your kayak as well, just to make sure that people can see you. You're not going to get hit or anything like that. We talked about the measuring boards, so catch boards only, no hog troughs, no other, I can't remember what the ones are called that you can buy at like Walmart or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I can't think of the name of them at the moment. Artificial lures only, no live bait. Rods and reels only. You can only use one rod and reel at one time. So like that rod and reel can only be in use at one time. So like one hook, depending on your state, you might be able to have two hooks on the same line or three hooks, whatever your state regulations are. But you can only be using one at one time. You can't have one sitting in the water and then throwing another one in, that type of thing.
You can only be in possession of one fish at a time as well. So like I mentioned, you know, some guys, gals might be fishing the spawn. You may have seen some YouTuber or pro or something like catch one fish off the bed and then hold that on a donkey leash or something like that, and then cast up there to catch the other one. You have to release that first fish. You cannot hold that. So don't be caught, you know, throwing up hero shots, holding two fish or something like that. Like you can only be in possession of one fish. I've known that to happen in previous.
There's a slight exception to that. I've never had it happen, but I have people have it happen. Getting doubled up. So what that means is you have two fish hitting the same lure. So like, if you have like photo or video evidence of that happening, that's perfect. That's what we want. Like as soon as you net those fish, you snap a picture of the fish in that net and we're golden. We're good. I mean, again, it's awesome when it happens, but it's
That happens on jerk baits, a rigs, crank baits, things like that, that have two treble hooks. So, or an a rig that's got multiple hooks, things like that. It does happen for sure. That is the only exception to that rule, but make sure you take a photo of those fish hooked, in case you are questioned later on down the road, because people will look at that. They'll look at your timestamps and be like, this doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. Now you have proof of why it looks red, you know?
Yep. Fish type, any of the bass species, so largemouth, smallmouth bass, and spotted bass. Again, 5 fish limit. The fish must be caught by yourself. They can't be fish that somebody else has caught and then given to you. Let's see here. So when you are taking a picture of the fish, make sure you are holding your camera above the fish and not like kind of at an angle or anything like that. If I can't see the mouth or tell if the mouth is open or closed, we could deny your fish submission because of that. I do have a good example of what a photo looks like on the Tourney X page in the rules. You want to make sure that your fish is facing from nose to tail, left to right. The lips of the fish need to be on the fence of the board. And also in your picture, you need to make sure you have the whole view of the fish, the fence of the board, and then the tail. And then like the next number past the tail, if your catch board isn't the one that has the numbers on the top and bottom. If the mouth is open in any way, shape, or form, we are going to stick with our 1-inch deduction like we did last year. So if your fish is, you know, 10 inches long, but you've got your mouth open just a little bit, we're going to take that inch deduction, but that will actually disqualify your fish at that time because it will make it go below the minimum length allowed. Let's see here. Make sure that your fish is laying flat on the board and that the tail isn't curled up.
Just want to throw this in here real quick, Susie, because we are talking some beginners. Make sure that your location services is on for your photos or your camera. So that way it's tagging the location of that fish. If you don't have that on, your fish may be DQ'd. So it's got to be on for the camera and for the Tourney X app as well.
Yep. Yeah. And if you have any questions about how to enable those location settings, you know, feel free to reach out to us. I mean, between each of us, I run Android. Sean, do you run Apple?
Yep. I have an iPhone.
He's got an iPhone. Between you guys, I mean, we've got, you know, both models of phones covered. So if you're just like, I don't understand why the location isn't on, you know, just message us and we'll be able to help you out with that. Fish is measured to the nearest quarter inch rounding down. And make sure that, you know, if the tail is like really close to that line, make sure you have like as clear as a photo as you can, that there's no blurriness to it, that there's no, like sun glare on it, any water droplets or anything like that. You'll want to make sure that you take the clearest photo if you can, as you can, to make sure you get the maximum length out of that fish. If you happen to catch a fish where its left eye is like either missing or mangled or something like that, or just looks really weird, like it might be dead or something like that, be sure to take a picture and a video of you releasing that fish to show that it's alive so that we can confirm, A, that that fish was alive when you caught it and it was alive when you released it. That's about all I have for now as I'm kind of skimming over everything.
Okay. I know one thing I wanted to highlight is, you know, one of the things that we really want to teach with this is the whole process of catch, photo, release. And that's why, you know, we are being a stickler about the rules. And it sounds like it's tough. And, you know, there's definitely times where I'm, you know, really struggling to get a fish to lay flat long enough to get a good picture. But, you know, that's the whole point of this exercise, is to get you guys comfortable with that and to, you know, learn that process. And, you know, there's definitely things you can do to calm down the fish, you know. Wetting your board is one thing that I've heard a lot of, covering the fish's eyes initially, not for the picture, but I've seen that before, where it calms them down enough, then you can take your hand away and, you know, get your picture. And I also learned to take multiple pictures, you know, and then you can, you know, weed them out afterwards, or when you submit, find the best one. Another thing that's helped me a lot is I actually take my net and put it at the fence side of the board. Because a lot of times when they flop, they tend to flop that direction for some reason. And that's definitely saved my butt quite a few times as well. So just some general tips that, you know, I found that really helped my CPR process. But it really, you know, once you get, you know, kind of a few down, you know, and you've caught a few and put them on the board, you kind of get a process down. You find out what works for you, and it's really not as big a deal as it might seem to a beginner. So definitely, again, that's kind of why we encourage you guys to do this, because we want to get that CPR process down, you know, to something that you're really comfortable with, and you know, so definitely, you know, practice it, and you know, it'll become second nature before too long.
Faux show. So all I was right. thinking about this. Should we, what has been everybody's biggest mistake in a tournament?
I'd say biggest mistakes that I've seen is,
your mouth. Personal mistake.
Oh, my personal mistake.
Your personal.
Oh.
I think I know I've let fish go.
Susie's perfect. Before. She's like, I ain't got anything.
I am not perfect.
I've definitely let fish go, and then went back and looked at the picture and realized I didn't take a good picture. Either I cut off part of the identifier, or, you know, for whatever reason. So I almost, before I put the fish back in the water, I try to take a quick look at the picture and make sure that I have something usable before I let that fish go. So I've definitely done that on more than one occasion with multiple different things. Either I cut off the identifier, I thought I had it in the picture, and, you know, I get super excited anytime I catch a fish. So, you know, sometimes I do have to force myself to calm down and, like, actually, you know, take a breath and be like, okay, let's make sure we got this right. So.
Mine, not using a phone tether.
Ooh, yep.
I had a fish flop off the board. Hit my phone, which then knocked it out of my hand, and bloop, right into the bottom of Nickajack Lake it went. And yeah, that totally screwed my whole tournament. And yeah, get a phone tether, get a damn phone tether. I'm telling you guys, that mistake cost me, I think it was like $1,100 for a brand new phone on the spot in the middle of Tennessee, plus the money to drive there, to stay there, food, gas, like everything. That was a very expensive mistake. So get a phone tether.
I can definitely put a link in the show notes to the tether that I use. It saved my butt quite a few times. So
yeah.
Yeah, I might have to go along the same lines of Brian as well. I didn't use a tether. I was actually competing in a tournament. It was a charity tournament, but still tournament nonetheless. And I'd set my phone on like the edge of the kayak, you know, because I was getting a fish or whatever, and the fish kind of flopped all over the place and thunk, and went my phone. So now, well, actually, I have two mistakes.
Susie went from perfect to noob.
So not only do you need a phone tether, but make sure your keys are like clipped onto your person. Yep. You never know when you're going to flip your kayak.
Yep. Susie went scuba diving for her keys.
I did, like, literally. I mean, not quite with the scuba, but I had like the snorkel goggles on and everything.
That she had to get from some random stranger on the shore, right?
Somebody totally hooked her up. Yep.
I ran up the dock up to this person's yard because I saw somebody mowing, and I waved them down and said, "Hey, do you have any goggles that I could use?" And sure enough, they did. So saved my butt for sure.
Oh man. Yeah, that's a good one. one. I always keep mine in my PFD.
Yeah, in mine are top now
little in my NRS zipper pocket up there.
I lock mine in my truck and use the keypad on the door. That way, I know.
Look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants. Look at you, Mr.
Fancy Pants.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I know that I would lose them otherwise. So.
I've done that before. I'll leave them under the gas tank lid, you know, like, or the gas cap lid.
Nope. And just kind of put them in there.
I had a teacher in high school, Mr. White. He was my 10th grade history teacher, and he used to take kids fishing with him, and he always put his keys in his gas cap the same way. And so my senior year, the second to last day, we pulled his car into the shop and took everything out of it, like seats, everything we could unattach from his car, we took out of it and parked it back out in his space and waited for him to go back out. And
that's awesome.
He's like, all right, funny joke, put it all back.
That's great.
Mr. White, if you're listening, I love you, bud. I'm still good friends with him. He's an awesome guy. So
that's cool. That's super cool.
All right, guys. Well, I know I wanted to just, you know, reinforce one more time. Definitely, guys, if you're interested, sign up. Get your friends signed up. You know, we can have as much friendly competition as we can, you know, cram into this. You know, the more the merrier. Absolutely. We'll definitely, you know, get the word out there as many ways possible. And like I said, if you have any questions, you can hit up any of the hosts, post in the Paddle and Fin Noobs tournament chat. I'll make sure a link for that is in the show notes as well. And you know, anything else you guys can think of?
No, man, just get out there, have fun. It's $10, man. That's one Big Mac meal less a month for you. You know what I mean? Like, it's $10. It's a great way to learn, have some competitiveness with some other like-minded individuals, and just get out there and have a good time. Don't be bashful. Get in that noobs group. Ask any and all questions that you guys have, and we just want to see you guys having a great time out on the water.
Exactly. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this awesome news with me. You guys, go out and sign up. Get out on the water, catch some huge fish, be safe while you're doing it. And I look forward to seeing all the fish submissions that you guys can come up with. So,
yeah, buddy.
All right. Well, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on the Paddle and Fin podcast, where we bring you the techniques, the tricks, and the tips to help you rip more lips. You guys have a good night.
Woo-woo. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.